Welcome to a special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Robert Thompson, author of The Offsite, a Leadership Challenge Fable. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Robert Thompson, author of The Offsite, a Leadership Challenge Fable. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, we interview Robert Thompson, a distinguished speaker, executive coach, and author of The Offsite, a Leadership Challenge Fable. So now, without any further delay, let's get started. We're privileged to be joined by Robert Thompson, founder of Applied Performance, a leadership and personal communication services company for entry-level through chief executive officers. For the past 25 years, Robert has worked with a distinguished group of clients, including AT&T, Hewlett-Packard, Johnson & Johnson, Lockheed Martin, Sony, and Sun Microsystems, to name just a very few. Recently, Robert authored The Offsite, a Leadership Challenge Fable, and he's here with us today to share his insights on management and leadership with the strategy-driven community. Robert, welcome.
And thanks for having me, Nathan. It's good to be here with you.
And we're glad to have you here. Robert, I wanted just to start out by asking, what inspired you to write The Offsite? What leadership need or needs did you see that the Leadership Challenge principles were specifically aimed to address?
Well, the Offsite Leadership Challenge Fable is aimed at sharing the five practices from the Leadership Challenge in a way that is sort of an easy to read. It's a mm-hmm. story. It's about people that the reader can identify with because we've all worked with some of the characters. And so the need there was not just to throw another fable onto the bookshelf, but to actually have something that was talking and using the five practices from the Leadership Challenge that Jim Kouzis and Barry Posner, some colleagues of mine, had created, and it's been on the shelf for about 20 years. So the Offsite is really resonates and is really a companion to the suite of products that the Leadership Challenge entails.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciated the fact that the Offsite was a fable. I just find them personally just to be a lot easier to read and to relate to.
Well, yeah, you relate to all the characters if it's done right. And, and I think the characters in the Offsite sort of are drawn up from a lot of different people that I've met over the years and people that I've worked with and or had in some of my speeches and workshop sessions. So they're very real folks. In fact, that's one of the things so far in the book review is people say that the characters are people that they really can see. They're fully developed, and they want to find out what happens to them after the book. people have drawn them into their lives. So that's a good thing because it's the five practices and the leadership message that we share that's really resonating in the book. And so it's easy for people to read, as I mentioned. It goes down well, and it's a good refresher for those people that are out there that, you know, from time to time you get tired of reading, you know, the book that has all the research in it. You just want a nice, easy read, and this is the book for that.
Yeah, and it really was. It really was. I wondered for our listeners if you could describe the five leadership challenge principles themselves and then how they they work together and interact to meet the challenges in today's business world?
Certainly. The five practices that Jim and Barry found 20 years ago, they came about through research, getting just regular folks like you and I in a room, and they asked them when they're doing their very best, what are they doing? And then they flip charted all of that, and up popped these five phrases that constantly showed up in everybody's story. So it was model the way, and that is certainly about credibility. It's about showing up, and you'll see Charlie, one of our facilitators, use sort of my model, my street language model, the show up. That's model the way, and it's about credibility and how important that is in the workplace and at home. I mean, the five practices are not something that you leave in your office drawer. You know, you sort of absorb them and take them with you everywhere. So model the way is number one. Inspire a shared vision is number two, and that's finding that story, that goal, that direction, and helping others come to it with you. A great vision allows people to join with you, not just work for you, if you understand the difference there.
Yes.
A lot of times, you know, we use leadership these days. It's an overused word. And a lot of folks look at it as a title or a position. And it's really not. It's really about who you are as a person and how you share that out in the world. So we want people to have a shared direction, and that's what vision is about. The third one is challenge the process. And, of course, that a lot of people look at that and say, okay, that's where I'm supposed to tell people no, and I'm supposed to be, you know, a gazinter. No. Challenge the process has a little bit of that flavor to it, but it's mostly about innovation. It's about thinking outside of that, you know what, that old box that people talk about. It's about thinking differently. And then enable others is about getting everybody on board. It's about working with people, helping them grow, learn. And then, of course, the last practice is encourage the heart. And that certainly, you know, is one of the most important, is recognize people for what they're bringing to the table and who they are and the kind of work that they're doing. Now, you can't take these practices and separate them out and say, well, you know, I'm going to get really good at this one, and the rest of them, who cares? It's about working on all of these all of the time. They connect like dots. If you're highly credible, people will be able to join with you in any vision that you suggest and work with you on it. They're going to want to be innovative around you and with you. They're going to enjoy that, enable others to act, because that's part of them learning and growing, and they're going to appreciate the recognition. So that's how all that stuff works together.
Okay. It sounds very much like some of the things I think conceptually we hope to convey on the strategy-driven website, in that we start with the vision and it really cascades down through the organization. It has to be reflective of everything the executive and the management team they do and their actions and how they communicate, and then how they inspire their workers to also embody that vision and focus their efforts on achieving it.
Well, one of the best ways to do that is for the executive team to create an outline, a draft vision. The thing that needs to happen here is, if the executive team is credible, again, going back to model the way, if they're credible and they do what they say they'll do, then their goal is to create an outline, a draft, and shoot it around the organization. Regardless of the size, there's ways to do this. We can't go into all of those today. But, you know, shoot it around and let others chew on it for a while and come up with ideas. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody should get in the room, 1,000 people, and everybody gets a word to put into this vision statement that then's laminated and plastered on the wall. That's exactly the wrong thing you want to do. The vision should be an actual story that people can actually use and relate to. And then the departments under that executive team and the groups within that department need to be able to relate to it in their own way. And that's how you get, with that story concept, that's how you get the energy around a real vision to get out there and really make people excited about going after the prize.
Okay. Yes, and by making then using the story, really give someone something that the workers can latch onto and make part of their own.
Right. Okay. If people looked in the offsite, Gwen, one of the key characters, uses the framework that I've created called the never-ending story. And the never-ending story comes about by asking several questions. And those questions begin with, you know, really internalizing to yourself. You have to start off as the quote-unquote leader and say, you know, why do I care about this? Where's my passion? You have to look at how things are right now, the current reality, and leave nothing off the table. Then you've got to sit back and you've got to say, what do we really want the future direction to look like? And from there, then you ask questions that help people understand the benefits when they join you. You have to make sure you invite people to be a part of this, because you know, just because folks show up every day and park in the parking lot and come in and sit behind a desk, it doesn't mean that they're feeling invited to be a part of this march towards this direction, this new direction. So you really need to invite them, and then, of course, you need to acknowledge them along the way and make sure they're a part of it.
It feels like what we're talking about is really leadership.
Yeah.
And a question that I get asked routinely that I wanted to ask for your perspective on is, what do you see as the fundamental difference between leadership and management?
That's a great question, Nathan, because it's so misunderstood. No matter where I am, usually in most of my talks with folks, that's the starting point. And people have this idea that they're kind of the same things. And they usually think of leadership as positional, as I mentioned, and, you know, authority and this kind of stuff. That's not what it's about. The simple difference is that leadership is about people and management is about things. And if you come at stuff like that, I think, you know, your credibility is higher and your ability to get folks to join with you is much higher.
Now, Robert, as I read the offsite, it seemed that a lot of the characters seem to have like that leadership quality within them, almost awaken as they went through the learning or some sort of realization process. Is leadership something that you believe people are born with, or is it something that they can be taught?
Well, you know, we wouldn't call it the leadership practices if we didn't think that practicing them would make you a better leader, right? A better leader.
Okay.
Not a leader, but a better leader. It's my opinion, after my time in the corporate world and doing this kind of work for the last 15 years, that leadership is within everyone. It is about finding what matters to you. It's about really pinpointing your passion. And when you care enough about something, that's when your leadership button gets pushed. And it's sort of like a pilot light, you know? It's sort of on low for a long time. Then all of a sudden, you know, you really find something that matters to you, you care about a lot, and boom, the pilot light goes up and the heat turns on. And so that's what the characters find, especially Gwen. You know, Gwen is one of those folks that she just, she's on autopilot. She thinks that controlling her team is the way to go, and it's the way it's done, and there's no conversation around it. But she finds out that leadership is different, and so does Joe, of course, in a different way.
And unfortunately, I can relate to Joe's as a character.
You or someone you've worked for.
I'd like to think it's not me, but I might have a person that here or there thought I was a Joe.
There you go.
Now, the offsite was, as the book suggests, a management retreat. And it seemed that the management team as a whole was focused on learning the leadership principles and moving together as a team to go forward. Yeah, I was wondering if you could suggest to our listeners how they as individuals, once they read the book, that they might be able to go forward to put the leadership principles in practice, if there's any differences, or if it's something that needs more of that group effort.
Well, you know, it always helps to have a group activity where you discuss this and have a conversation around it. But clearly, there's a couple of things that people need to do. Again, they need to ask themselves, you know, who am I and what do I want? They need to know their values, and that's how Gwen gets started with this, is she goes through a process of really checking some boxes about what are her values. But you take all of that, and I like to funnel it down into a couple of phrases. One, you need to close the gap entirely between your beliefs and behaviors. Too often, we espouse something, but our behaviors belie it. It's just not something that we do. And so a true leader and someone who's choosing leadership, and it is a choice, someone who's choosing it needs to make the effort to close the gap forever between what you say you believe and how you behave. And then there's a simple recipe that I share with everyone, Nathan, and that is there's four Secret Service questions. I call them Secret Service because they're kind of cute that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here they are.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's very simple, and everybody who's listening is going to go, well, duh. But very few people ask these questions on a regular basis to themselves, to their spouse, to their family, and to their folks that they work with. And they go like this. There's four questions. What can I do more of? What can I do less of? What can I start doing? What can I stop doing? And if you ask those questions with people on a regular basis, just walking down the hall, doesn't have to be a big meeting where you stand up in front and say, okay, I want to get better as a leader. You can do it that way, but it can be just walking down the hall with Joe or Susie or whatever it might be and just say, you know, Susie, I really want to make sure that I'm doing the best I can for you as a leader, because leaders do that. Leaders are the people who provide the resources and make sure that the folks have them. And so, therefore, what can I do more of, less of, start and stop for you? And, and I tell you, if everybody did that, scores on your leadership instruments, whatever one you might use, are going to go up.
Yes, and it also sounds like it might be beneficial, too, to bring in like a peer mentor, just somebody to help you.
Oh, sure. It's always good to have a coach. Yeah, absolutely. A peer. Hook up with someone that you report into, for instance. You can say, look, I want to get better as a leader. You know, through the Leadership Challenge material, you could use the Leadership Practices Inventory. Do that instrument, get some analysis, and say, I want to get better. And here's how I'm going to measure myself every 9 months to a year. So and peer-to-peer, you can hook up with someone who also needs help, and you can challenge and coach each other.
And I know our listeners who often hear Howard and I talk to each other, that's how we first started out together, is we became peer mentors, helping each other
and
form a relationship.
That's one of the best ways to go. But again, that's a sacred trust there, because you have to be able to share what's really going on in your head with that kind of relationship.
Yeah, there's a certain vulnerability, I find.
Oh, absolutely. Those leaders are vulnerable. And if you look at the true leaders out there, what I call real leaders, there's always some signs of vulnerability with them. They put themselves out.
Yes. And I guess, you know, thinking back on the leaders I've enjoyed working with most, I think that can be truly said of all of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's one clear thing that leaders have, and that is this sense of they care so much that they're willing to put themselves out in front in a variety of ways, including being vulnerable. That's why I go back and say leaders, it's not position. That's, you know, because that's a decider. You get to be the decision maker. You get to have, power in that sense, but that doesn't mean you're a leader.
Yes. Title doesn't necessarily make a leader.
That's correct.
Yeah.
In fact,
sometimes
it can be the adverse.
Yes, it can. It can be, truly. I was wondering now, in the book, we had Joe, and Joe started out as not being a believer, not wanting to participate in the program, and by the end of the book, he came forward and recognized some of the needs that he had and allowed himself to be vulnerable.
Right.
If we're trying to implement the Leadership Challenge principles, though, and we have a Joe in our organization and maybe one that's a little more dug in, are there some unique challenges that we're going to face in implementing it, and are there things that we can do to help bring those Joes along, and you know, avoid maybe a loss of credibility with what we're trying to do?
Well, you know, the Joes, and everybody has a Joe in an organization. There may be more than one, and a lot of the Joes can become quite the bully. And what people need to understand with that is because they behave that way, chances are very high that their self-esteem is very low, and they're behaving that way to try to compensate and be mean, and it may be something that's just started in their life. They've got something going on in their personal life that's causing this lack of feeling of power, and so they bring it to work and try to lord it over others and tell them what to do and so on. You also have to give them a little space in that. That's probably the kind of modeling that they had, and so they don't know any better. And Joe is one of those guys that has gone to all of the trainings. He's read all the books, and he can talk a good game, but he can't walk the game. And so that's a slightly different group of folks. But we have to first step back and take a look at the person as a human being. You know, who are they? What are they really after? I've talked to folks who are extremely mean. They yell at others and so on and so forth. And it basically boils down to they're in total fear. And I think that when we come into a workplace or we come into a relationship, we come into it with two ways of approaching it, through love or fear, fear of not having something or fear of having something. And we don't want the fear, but it's there. And with Joe, you know, as people read the book, they'll understand a little bit more of his backstory and why he's in such a fearful place. But it is compensating. Now, if I'm working for a Joe and I'm directly dealing with that, now, there's a couple of things I need to do there. One, I need to make sure that if he's doing something that's against the law, that I follow up on that. Now, there may be consequences, and people are, you know, some people who may have done that and gotten either fired or whatever because of it, they're probably, if they're listening right now, sort of snickering and saying, oh, yeah, I tried that, and look what happened to me. That is a consequence whenever you're dealing with a Joe, is that there can be some consequences that you don't want coming from that attempt to try to make peace. Having a conversation with the Joes can be helpful. Trying to do it in a peaceful setting can be helpful. Asking the questions that I mentioned earlier repetitively, you know, what can I do more of, less of, start and stop, and we'll sort of take away some of the anger from the Joe. It's hard for that anger to keep going when you constantly are asking, what can I do more of, less of, start and stop. So again, you have to make sure that what they're doing is not illegal, and if it is, you need to deal with that in the correct way. And then give them space, try to see who they are, and continue to work on it. And if they don't change, you know, you can't control that. Then you have to make a decision on where you need to be, you know, next spot.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. That does. And I guess in the, you know, I call it the evolving business environment, but our business environment is changing. I guess I find that those that are like Joe, for lack of a better term, maybe old school, a little more hierarchical and very directive, they're just not getting the same successful results in today's business environment that they maybe had in the past.
That's correct, because they're dealing with the generational changes that are going on in the workplace today, and they don't know how to deal with that.
Yes.
And that's a whole different podcast.
that one would be a long one.
Yeah.
The new generation coming into the workforce, I find to be very rich in what they have to offer. But like any generation, their perspective on things is a little different also.
Well, perspective changes with experience, but it works both ways. Sometimes experience can set your perspective into concrete. And that's the issue that's going on today. And the next step with that is there's an awful lot of younger folks, some in their 20s, that are having people in their 50s report to them. And that's huge. That's a big deal in the workplace. And what I'd like to see, and I mention it in the offside, I'd like to see the people who really want to. You remember the cobbler story? I'd really want to see people who really like working, you know, as a shoe cobbler, they like working with leather. I'd like to see them continue to work with leather and doing what they want to do. And I want to see people be put in, quote-unquote, management positions, regardless of age, who can do the paperwork, so to speak. They don't have power over the shoe cobbler, but they do the paperwork and keep the business humming. And I think there's a way to do that. There is somewhat of a model to look at when you look at universities. And you see that a good deal of professors really don't want to be, you know, head of the department or president of the university. They just want to do their research and they want to be, you know, more or less left alone and teach or do whatever. That's kind of an approach to take. It's not perfect, but it has some flavors that we might be able to install in corporations. And as people stay at the workplace longer, there's no way that more of them are not going to be reporting to younger people. So I think that it needs to be discussed and conversations need to be had and respect needs to be given both ways.
I agree. And I often find if we can allow the cobbler to do that which he or she is so passionate doing, you know, they'll be very happy and you'll get a better product.
To break down. The book, as we talk at the finish, you know, it's about helping people create their masterpiece. And I think that, you know, that's the important thing about people coming to work is that they're there to certainly make a living, provide a roof and food and whatnot, but they're there to develop their lives, to learn and to grow, and to develop that masterpiece, something that they can be extremely proud of as some sort of a capstone to their life, if you will. And I think we all in the workplace can help each other do that. It's not about, you know, just creating a widget and getting 1,000 widgets out today and that kind of a thing. It is about helping people understand who they are and what they want from life totally, and to find out that they actually do have the power to choose this leadership as something to how they live their life.
Yes, yes. Robert, I wanted to ask you one other thing, and it's something I'm just dying to know in the book, and I don't know if you're going to share with me, but I thought I'd ask anyway. Charlie.
Yeah, good old Charlie.
Good old Charlie, our hero, leadership mentor, and coach extraordinaire, and Abby at the airport trying to decide whether she goes back to...
What she's going to do,
What she's going to do. Yeah. Can you give us any thoughts as to whether
I can tell you that Abby makes a choice.
Okay.
And that people who get excited about that relationship that's developing will find out in the next book.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. When can we expect the next book?
The next book, well, All Good Intentions, Nathan, is the next book will be out sometime this time next year.
Oh, excellent.
So
we'll look forward to
it. It's taken a slightly different shape. Charlie and Abby will continue. I don't know about the rest of the characters. We might have all new guys, but to sort of a different storyline takes in some of the things we've talked about today, actually. And the continuing saga of Charlie and Abby will, as I say, continue and hopefully come to an end. But you know what? The characters tell me how things are going to work out. I don't try to make any definites on that. I just write, and I can get up at 3 a.m. and they can tell me, okay, this is what's going to happen. So as far as I know, you'll find out in the second book.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to look forward to the second book, and I hope we have the opportunity to have you back when that book comes out. Excellent, excellent. Well, Robert, I want to thank you for not only taking the time to share your leadership insights and thoughts with us, but you know, I've thoroughly enjoyed the offsite and will recommend that our readers go to the bookstore and pick up a copy. And I know you have a website out there.
Website is leaderinsideout.com. Leaderinsideout.com, one word. And got all kinds of little stuff on there, and I certainly write a blog and all this kind of thing. But
great,
have them come check it out.
All right, I will send them to leaderinsideout.com. In fact, with the podcast, we'll put a link to your website also.
Okay, great.
So that our listeners can get there quickly.
Great.
Well, thank you again.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me, Nathan. Appreciate it.
And that wraps us up. Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I'd also like to personally thank Robert Thompson for sharing his insights on leadership with us, and would encourage everyone to read his book, The Offsite, A Leadership Challenge Fable, and to visit his website at www.leaderinsideout.com. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. And if you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Until next time, so long.